Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're continuing our conversation about the top news stories of 2014, but now we are widening our focus to look at all of Texas. And again, we are asking you to score how you think the media did in covering state news in the past year. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. What did you think were the top news stories of 2014? 210-614-8980. You could also email with your questions and comments to The Source at tpr.org. With me again this half hour, Gilbert Garcia, the columnist for the San Antonio Express News, and we are joined by Texas Public Radio's newest edition, our new news director, Shelley Koffler. Shelley, welcome to The Source.
Well, thank you, Dave. Great to be here.
And on the line, we have the editor and co-founder of the Texas Tribune, Evan Smith. Evan, welcome to The Source.
Hi, David. Happy New Year. Gilbert, Shelley, Happy New Year to you, too.
Happy New Year.
Same.
So, Shelley, let me ask you first off, since you're the news director here at TPR.
And you want to defer.
Defer to you. What did you think was the top news story of this for the state in 2014?
Well, you know, Dave, I'd preface that by saying, first of all, that I spent the first 11 months of this year in Dallas. And while I cover politics and, you know, I'm very in tune and always interested in what's happening at the legislative level and, you know, politically on a local level, too, I have to say there is no question that from my vantage point, the big story of the year was Ebola. The impact it had on the community of Dallas, and then I think the way that it ricocheted out beyond that to raise sort of the specter of us not being prepared to handle an illness that is deadly, contagious, can lead to some kind of an epidemic, which it didn't. And, you know, I know we're all very grateful for that. But the fact that we had the first case of Ebola in the state of Texas, to me, that rises to the level of probably the most noteworthy story.
Sure.
For the state.
And how the state reacted to that. Let's listen to a clip here. This is Texas Health Presbyterian Hospital nurse Brianna Aguirre talking with Today Show's Matt Lauer about the hospital's shortcomings after Ebola turned up in Dallas.
We never talked about Ebola, and we probably should have.
About it prior to Mr. Duncan arriving?
No, we never had a discussion. They gave us an optional seminar to go to, just informational, not hands-on. And it wasn't even suggested that we go. It wasn't, something that they said, you know, you really should try to make it. It was, I believe, only offered once, if not twice. We never were told what to look for. And I just don't think that any facility in this country is prepared for that at this time.
Evan Smith at the Texas Tribune, how do you think Texas did in reacting to the Ebola situation?
Poorly, generally out of the gate, but we got there eventually. I appreciate where Shelley's coming from, and when I say where Shelley's coming from, I mean geographically where Shelley's coming from. That in Dallas, there's no question that Ebola was the story of the year, and I think nationally, Ebola was certainly one of the stories of the year. Time Magazine validated that with its elevation of the Ebola fighters to the person of the year status, but I'm not sure that for the entirety of Texas, Ebola was as important as it was to either Dallas locally or to the country nationally. I would say, and this is going to come as no surprise given my own disposition, that the Republican rout in November was the statewide story, not just the fact of Republican victories, but the magnitude of them and what it meant, both looking backwards over a year in which we talked about Texas turning blue and looking ahead for the next cycle or two or three or more. The rest of the country before this election seemed to be open to the idea of Democrats in charge. My line, not terribly funny today, but I said it many times after Election Day, was that on Election Day, Denton voted to ban fracking and Texas voted to ban Democrats. And that continues to be my sense of the byproduct of the election. And I think the big story is that Texas turned redder, not bluer in 2014.
I would have to agree with Evan that was the big political story of the year. I think both of the stories were extremely important. And I'd have to say, you know, this was supposed to be the year that Democrats, with the help of Battleground Texas, ate into, sort of made, some inroads into the Republican domination in the state. And as Evan noted, they got clobbered instead. And the election also, in my mind, within the Republican Party, validated Tea Party candidates in a way that nationally we kept hearing, hey, the Tea Party's going away, the Tea Party is losing its influence. That's not true here in Texas. We ended up with Dan Patrick, Attorney General Ken Paxton, Connie Burton's replacing Wendy Davis in the state Senate, and I think all of those candidates were elected with the help of strong Tea Party backing.
And you know, Gilbert, you wanted to join this?
I think there was a sense in 2013 amongst Democrats that Wendy Davis's filibuster on the abortion issue was a watershed moment. And I think it might have been something that there was such a hunger. I think back to in the mid-70s when Bruce Springsteen emerged as a star, there was an article saying if he hadn't existed, critics would have invented him. And I think that there was such a hunger among Democrats for someone who could fill that void, who could become a credible gubernatorial candidate, that maybe people projected some things onto Wendy Davis that weren't there.
Well, talking to...
And you know what? Honestly, David, the fact is, Gilbert, it could not be more right in that the absence of Wendy Davis would have caused Democrats to invent her. It also would have caused the press to invent her.
They
right.
did.
Remember,
right.
we have been so well, maybe they did, in fact. The press has been starving for 20 years in the desert. We've had no competitive elections, and we're not really journalists. We're fight promoters. We want action. I think we're biased toward action, more toward one political party or another. Gilbert is correct that filibuster was a watershed moment, but what we learn now at the end is that a moment is not a movement.
Right.
And that the question all of us in the press should have been asking on the day after the filibuster was, what else do you have? This reminds me, looking back at it now, like nothing so much as Kay Bailey Hutchison versus Rick Perry in 2010. Remember how Kay was going to clobber mm-hmm. Rick? Well, it didn't happen either. And in that case as well, the press asserted rather than proved that the race was competitive. So we have some egg on our face institutionally, I think, as well.
Well, talking to Democratic Party insiders in Texas and about what went wrong, and they blame Battleground Texas. They say Battleground Texas came in with the wrong message and the wrong administration and the wrong way of doing things, and they turned off their base. Evan.
The base was turned off already. I mean, voter turnout among Democrats over the years has been really, except for the 2008 election when Obama and Clinton in the primary and then Obama in the general momentarily reversed the trend, Democrats have not been able to turn voters out forever. To blame Battleground Texas for not turning out Democratic voters is ridiculous, because what happened before Battleground Texas got here? I think Battleground Texas is not it's a symptom, it's not the disease.
And Shelley?
Well, I'd have to say, I think that it's important to remember that Texas politics do not take place in a vacuum outside of the national political world. And, I mean, who did you hear the Republican candidates bashing time and time again? It was President Obama. President Obama's unpopularity on a national level, which was, I think, even more pronounced here in Texas, it affected every Democrat that was running. And that's why Democrats had an even tougher time than they would have had anyway. And I think that's what ran up the numbers a little bit, because you had President Obama, his unpopularity, the health care, Obamacare, act, and all of that really created it's something that's very difficult for Democrats
Gilbert.
To overcome.
Well, you know, the Democrats in trying to flip the state, you know, they look back, this was once a Democratic state, and it flipped the other way in the, you know, beginning in the late 70s and into the 80s. But in that case, you were basically asking people to flip, they were conservative Democrats, asking them to switch parties, to discard their allegiance to the party, but they didn't have to make an ideological shift. You're now asking people in what is a conservative state to make an ideological shift to become Democrats, and that's very hard.
Wendy Davis was just not the transformational candidate that needed to exist to make that happen. Okay, we're going to take a break. We ask callers, jump in this conversation. What do you think were the top stories in Texas for 2014? The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. It's The Source on KSTX. We'll be right back. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the top stories of Texas in 2014. And with me to do that, Gilbert Garcia, the San Antonio Express News columnist. Shelley Koffler, our new news director here at Texas Public Radio. You may have heard her before. She's moderated many statewide debates, and she is formerly of KERA Dallas. We would air her stories frequently here in San Antonio. Now she's here helping our local newsroom and take it to the next level. And on the line, we've got the editor and co-founder of the Texas Tribune, Evan Smith. So another big story of 2014 was Rick Perry 2.0, but that hit a glitch. Let's hear that.
We don't settle political differences with indictments in this country. It is outrageous that some would use partisan political theatrics to rip away at the very fabric of our state's Constitution. This indictment amounts to nothing more than abuse of power. And I cannot and I will not allow that to happen.
He has tried to get the indictments thrown out, but so far Rick Perry has not been successful. Evan Smith, is this going to be a problem for Rick Perry as he moves towards maybe running for president again?
Well, I'm of two minds about this. One mind tells me that if you have the word indictment in the first sentence of your bio, it's going to follow you around the country like toilet paper stuck to your shoe. Very difficult to dislodge it, and your opponents will be only too happy to remind potential primary voters that you're the indicted, though not convicted, but indicted governor of Texas. But the flip side of it is, as you heard in that clip, Rick Perry has been litigating this this criminal issue, or this, I should say, legal issue, judicial issue, this indictment, in the court of public opinion, in the absence of there being an actual court action. And he's doing pretty well at it so far. He's turned Rosemary Lemberg, the DA in Travis County, who, frankly, was not the one who indicted him. I mean, that's the interesting part of this. But it's turned Rosemary Lemberg and the symbol of Rosemary Lemberg into something of a national laughingstock. He will run against her. He will run against partisan Democrats. To the degree that this indictment comes up, he will use it as a punching bag to say, I wouldn't let those Democrats back in Texas get me. I'm going to fight them just like I'll fight for you against bad Democrats and bad Democratic ideas. Maybe he can turn it to an advantage. He had an uphill battle already. This just adds another a big rock or two that he has to navigate.
And Shelley Coffler, how did Rick Perry's response to this indictment, how did it read in the bar rooms and beauty parlors and barbershops of Texas?
Well, I haven't been to the bar rooms. I have been to a few beauty parlors. I think that a lot of people are just so tired of all of it. They're willing to accept that maybe it was politics. Some of them are. I think that on the national level, what's really important for Rick Perry is to get this over fast. The more it lingers, the more it becomes, you know, part of, as Evan said, his bio. And I don't think it's when people outside of Texas, and that's what he cares about these days, he cares about the national scene. I don't think they're looking at Rick Perry and saying, oh, here's a governor who's been indicted. He must have some real problems. I think that more of what they're looking at here is the governor who said, oops, 4 years ago. And, he couldn't cut it on the national scene. So, like I said, I think he has to get this thing out of the way. And then, as Evan said, too, he has a long upward slog to make it through Iowa, New Hampshire, and get to South Carolina.
And Gilbert, there was a Bexar County connection with the with the prosecuting attorney, special prosecutor Michael McCrum, and how he was alleged to have been doing some jury witness tampering here in San Antonio. And then that got lost after D.A. Reid lost her reelection.
Yeah, he has had kind of a feud with Susan Reid that's been going on for a while. But I think with Mike McCrum is a real interesting figure in this because, as Evan said, Rosemary Lemberg has been the person that Rick Perry has targeted, but Mike McCrum was really the person who took this case to the grand jury. And by all accounts, he is not a partisan figure, and some would say maybe he even has some Republican leanings. So, he's not really the focus of Rick Perry's attention when he deals with this, because Mike McCrum is a little more problematic to cast as a partisan figure. In this,
I think it was very important that somebody like Mike McCrum was appointed to sort of oversee this case, because he does come off as somebody who has a conservative background, but who plays it right down, plays it right down the middle, and who doesn't,
Yeah, but all that gets lost when Rick Perry is standing at the podium saying, this is abuse of power.
This is who the media covers, so, right?
Right. Okay, our phone lines are open. If you want to join the conversation, talk about your top stories of 2014, the number is 210-614-8980, and Deborah has called in. Let's get her on the line. Deborah, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm glad to be here.
Go ahead.
When y'all are talking about the idea of the top story in Texas, I thought that the undocumented children coming across the border all year long is probably the biggest issue. So I'd like y'all to talk about that.
Well, thank you for your call, and we will do just that. So, Shelley, what's your take on the unaccompanied minors that we had turning up this summer on our southern border?
Well, I would agree with Deborah that that should certainly be in contention. It was one of the biggest stories. It, you know, the children were coming across the southern border, but again, I was living in Dallas, and we were dealing with the issue up there as we were all across the state. First of all, there were, let me see if I can remember the numbers here, something like 50,000 in the first half, almost, of 2014, about double the year before. These were children who were coming from countries where there's a lot of persecution, abuse, horrible conditions where if they return, they may or may not live. I mean, just a huge humanitarian story. What happened at the political level, you know, turned it into something else. But and I'm not sure we've really figured out what we're going to do in the long run about dealing with these children and people who are coming, you know, from very serious dire situation.
Right.
So I agree.
So Evan Smith at the Texas Tribune, it seemed to me like there was a media failure in covering this story. It got branded a border crisis, not necessarily a border crisis. It was a crisis in these countries in Central America. And there was a lot of hype and overselling of this story. Did you see that?
Well, Republicans would disagree with you. I come back to the politics of everything, always. Republicans would disagree with you because they banged the drum on this and related issues on immigration all throughout the campaign and did so in a way that actually got some of their own fellow Republicans to go, hold on, our rhetoric is crazy and our you know, what is the message we're projecting for a party that did so poorly with the Latino community last time? The fact is, Greg Abbott won Hispanic men statewide. Dan Patrick did. They held Wendy Davis's margin over Greg Abbott to, you know, nominal in the Latino vote. The Latino turnout in Texas was abysmal, as it typically is. The fact is that the hard line on immigration that we heard as a result of this issue did not have a political effect, and I think it validated the idea that what Texas wants more than anything else is a solution to this problem. If the federal government is not going to provide it, then we'll have to provide one ourselves. I'm not sure that it was hyped. I just think that it was viewed through a political rather than a policy lens. We don't have a policy solution today any more than we did back before this happened.
Gilbert Garcia, we saw a lot of coverage here in San Antonio. We saw many of the children being housed here.
That's right. You know, and I think this the story really didn't fit into the discussion that we'd had on immigration leading up to, because we've been thinking about, you know, work visas, and, you know, there have been concerns about, you know, border security. In this case, we're dealing with children. It's a humanitarian crisis, not coming from Mexico, coming from Central American countries. So it was really, I think, forcing everybody to sort of reassess what we're really talking about when we talk about the border.
You know, it did become the springboard for political activity in Austin, though, because it was the prelude to the governor and the Republican leadership saying, we're going to send more National Guard to the border, we're going to spend more money on DPS troops, you know, we're going to essentially militarize to some extent what's going on down there, and what the lawmakers just recently approved another $86 million for the border search at the end of the next fiscal year. So what started as a humanitarian crisis mm-hmm. with children has now led to this increased deployment on the border, and, you know, immigration is going to be a huge issue in the next legislative session.
So Evan,
and another excuse for Texas to sue the federal government. You know, it became another weapon in the battle against Washington, D.C. So it actually fit neatly into an existing political narrative and made it ever more interesting for people down here.
So Evan Smith, since you have Texas Tribune, you're able to look at the clicks. What are the clicks telling you, the people who are, you know, looking at news online, is the stories that people wanted to read more about?
I'm not sure you want to hear this, but the most heavily trafficked story that we published all year was about the release from jail of the real-life Bernie from the Richard Linklater film. You know, for all the discussion of these big issues, immigration and the Republican round and Ebola and everything else, that's what got people's attention.
Okay.
You know, we're really in a situation, and I know that Gilbert and Shelley will agree, where we all in the news business have to work overtime to get people to pay attention.
Well, I know people need a little bit of relief, but I'm just going to tell you what the big clickbait was in Dallas at KERA Public Radio, where television and radio where I came from. Where is Marina Oswald? I'm not kidding
you.
That was the story after the 50th anniversary of the assassination and all the sidebars that were done. There was a story about where is Marina Oswald, and it is still one of the top three clicked upon stories.
So people are not clicking about the drought. You know, and that is probably a story that's impacted directly more people in the state than any other story. And I know, Evan, over at Texas Tribune, you guys have been doing great coverage of the drought. But, you know, what's not happening here?
Here's what's not happening. People walk in their house, they turn on the faucet, water comes out. They flush the toilet, it flushes.
For some people, there are pockets of Texas where that's not happening.
Well, they're small pockets. I think that, we've been hearing for years and years, oh, one day Dallas or San Antonio may run out of water. It's going to take that. People could be forgiven for thinking crisis is over. And the reality is things are better this year than last year and better last year than the year before. But you're absolutely correct. The water problem in the state, especially as the population grows, more than 1,000 people added to the state's population a day, according to the census in the last year, they're not bringing water with them. So we have a problem. We're straining our natural resources. We're at risk of becoming victims of our own success. There's an upbeat thought for you on New Year's.
All right. Well, have a happy New Year and a safe New Year to you, Evan Smith, the co-founder of Texas Tribune, and also Shelley Koffler, our new news director here at Texas Public Radio, Gilbert Garcia, the San Antonio Express News columnist. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
And this is The Source on KSTX. Have a happy and safe New Year in San Antonio. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is produced by Paul Flav and David Martin Davies. Our engineer is Doug DeMore. Management and oversight provided by VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Production assistance is provided by me, Ruben Garcia. The Source is a production of Texas Public Radio. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.